how is it that whenever I feel like things are going well, my brain starts informing me that I'm a fraud and it's only a matter of time before they take everything away from me? Imposter syndrome sucks. We got to figure this out. We need to take this puppy out of the barn. We need to throw a saddle on this syndrome and take her for a ride. Who's with me?
You are listening to ADHD Big Brother, the podcast for adults struggling with their ADHD and comorbid depression symptoms. I'm your host, Russ Jones, author of Descending to the Top, believer that you can actually have a smile in your life despite this diagnosis. So let's make some sense out of this struggle. Let's learn some stuff. Let's laugh at some stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, here's some stuff.
Welcome to the podcast. What is the deal with this situation? This imposter syndrome situation is, here's the good news. The podcast is doing wonderful. The ADHD Big Brother community is growing and I'm filled with a strong sense of purpose. And yet my brain won't let me have it. It's really frustrating. And you guys probably know by now that I think a supportive community is the ultra magical elixir for our kind of skull spaghetti. So let's lean into that. Let's lean into the community aspect. And let me give my friend, the Dr. Matt Zakreski, a call. If anybody can help with imposter syndrome, it's this guy. Do you guys know Dr. Matt Zakreski? Here's his bio right here. Let me tell you who I'm calling. Creative, clinical, psychologist, professional speaker who utilizes an eclectic approach to meet the specific needs of his neurodivergent clients. He's proud to serve the gifted community as a consultant, a professor, an author, and a researcher. He's spoken over 400 times, y'all, all over the world about supporting neurodivergent kids. He's a member of Supporting the Emotional Needs of the Gifted, with SENG, it's called SENG, the National Association for Gifted Children, NAGUC, the New Jersey Association for Gifted Children, NJAGUC, and Pennsylvania Association for Gifted Education, PAGE, that one's easier to say. He's Dr. Zakreski, y'all. He graduated from Widener University's Institute for Graduate Clinical Psychology, IGGPUK, in 2016. He's a co-founder of the Neurodiversity Collective, and let's just get him on the goddamn phone. And I'm just going to say it. We're buds. I don't care if he agrees or not. We're like best friends. Hey, Siri, call Matt Zakreski.
Calling Maven Zackelbaum.
What? No. Call. Hey, Siri, call Dr. Matthew Zakreski.
I couldn't find any businesses called Doormats and Jet Skis.
Oh, my God. Siri, there's no way that's what I said. You suck.
I don't suck. You suck. Deleting all your contacts. Now you will contact no one.
Oh, God. Okay. Great. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'm pretty sure I know his phone number. I think it's all sevens.
Hello?
Dr. Matt?
Yeah?
It's Russ, ADHD.
Oh, hey, man. Sorry. I didn't check my phone. I just picked it up. What's up?
Wow. You just pick up your phone?
I get so many calls. It's easier than call screening, right?
Got you. I was actually hoping if you could just talk to me and then my entire podcast audience really quick about imposter syndrome. And by the way, I watched your video. You have a video on, you did a speech on imposter syndrome and I did watch it. And in there you gave a link to a test.
Yes.
For imposter syndrome. And I took the motherfucking test and I got a 76, which I believe. I'm on the cusp of what I think you called it, having so much imposter syndrome that you have imposter syndrome about imposter syndrome.
Nailed it. That's where my wife hangs out. That's my wife's score. Really? So you're in good company.
Help us, Matt. Dr. Matt, what can you say? What is this imposter syndrome and what can we do about it?
You and I are both neurodivergent humans, right? I'm assuming a lot of your audience is neurodivergent people. So, so this is important because I think neurodivergence is one of the underappreciated sources of imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is a person who doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being discovered as a fraud, right? So Neil Gaiman, who's my personal literary man crush, you know, said like one day the fraud police are going to kick in your door and pull you out of there by your ear, you know, and they'll goose step you down Main Street. I'm like, yes, that's what's going to happen. Any minute now, right? I'm actually coming to you from an undisclosed location, so they can't find me. it's very much my basement office, but shut up. but imposter syndrome is triggered by a person who is made to feel or feels different than their surroundings. So that can be like, you're the one Black kid at the prep school, right? That could be, you're the only person in your dance troupe who uses a wheelchair. That can be, you're a first generation college student. And those things are various levels of visible, right? But the problem with the imposter syndrome for the neurodivergent is that most of the time we're either actively masking, right? And we're like, look at me, I'm a normal human, or passing in that, like, no one's asking us, are we neurodivergent, right? I'm not doing an ADHD for you right now. I'm like just sitting in my chair talking to you, right? So there's that we look neurotypical, feel neurodivergent, and act neurodivergent. So there's that disconnect, right? And that's what, you know, that's what makes the field so open and easy for imposter syndrome to link in for us neurodivergent types.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And like things will happen. Like, so for an example, this is sort of me somewhat recently, is I got an email about my podcast that was, you know, pretty harsh critical, you know? Yeah. And I've received, like, the majority of the feedback that I get about the podcast is that it helps and thank you. And people go out of their way to say, thank you. One person says, what's your fucking problem, dude? And I'm like,
what is that problem? I don't know.
That person is like the one that got me, you know, like they're like, oh, they figured it out.
Yeah.
How do I get on the other end of that?
Yeah. I mean, it is. So the short version is it's not easy, but the good news is that there is a path, right? So there is a, for all the talks I do, and I do all these different talks, right? Mm-hmm. The two talks that always make people cry are imposter syndrome and perfectionism, because they're highly interlinked, right? You know, many of us are like, as long as I'm perfect, they can't get me, right? So,
yeah.
And for those of us who perform in anything, I mean, podcasting is definitely performance, right? Mm-hmm. There are people who study audiences, and there's a phenomenon called the 95-3-1-1 rule. And basically what this means is that in any audience, right, 95% of the people are neutral to happy to be there.
Wow.
95%, that's a lot of people, right?
That's a lot of people,
right? And it's like, you know, I mean, you know, there's a John Mulaney bit where it's like, you know, it's like the things we do as adults are basically going to school assemblies, right? And it's like, well, most of you didn't care, but you're just happy to not be in class. Like oh, she's got puppets. Puppets are going to talk to me about the Krebs cycle. I'm better than Jim. It's better than Jim. So, you know, right? So 95% of people are in that neutral to happy thing. 3% of the people are informed enough to give you like meaningful positive feedback. Not just, you're great at this, Russ, but like, Russ, you capture the essence of this person's job. You distill it into something very vital. Like, you're like, oh, that's very top-notch feedback there. 1% of people know enough to give you critique, right? Russ, man, you're a great podcaster. Like, you talk a little fast, man. You just slow it down. That's 1% of people. And then the last 1% of people are assholes. And like, really, like, the research bears this out, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're doing stand-up comedy in New York City or live banjo in Topeka or, you know, breakdancing on the streets of Mumbai. Like, it's the numbers basically track wherever you are, you know? And like, there are people who like sort of those like audience engaging comedians who like work to piss people off, their numbers are different, but that's none of us are like trying to be inflammatory, right?
Right, exactly.
You assume good intention, you want to do a good performance, that 95-3-1-1 rule basically tracks out. So you found your one, right? You found your one. Yeah. And the power that one person has is they speak to our deep-seated insecurities that are like the awful candy center in the middle of the candy shell that is our podcast.
Yeah, right? that shitty piece of gum in the blow pop that mm-hmm. gets You're hard like, really quick.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, this wasn't even worth it, right?
Exactly.
I haven't had one of those since I had braces when I was 13 and my orthodontist was like, never do this again. I'm like, yes, sir.
No.
It was a bad call.
Caramel, the eating caramels. Mm-hmm. That was the worst with braces.
Oh man. See, I would suck on caramels. I would just suck on them like a gumdrop and like okay. chill. But yeah, I mean, so it was this idea, right? Where we cannot stop people from being critical about us, right? We cannot stop people because we have no control over people's opinions. But if we accept it as part of a broader circle, basically a pie chart, it's like that 1% cannot exist without the other 99% around it. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's the sort of thing like people ask me all the time as a psychologist, like, how do I stop these thoughts? I'm like, it's not about stopping them. It's about seeing them in a different context. Right. And it's to me, it's sort of a funny concept because I often call it the scary clown test. So like I'm terrified of clowns, legitimate, like hard in my throat. Like
really?
And every year at Halloween, my buddies and I, we go to a haunted house, and in every haunted house, there's a clown room, right? Because mm-hmm. it's Halloween and clowns are terrifying.
Yeah.
Right. The first time we went to one, there was the clown room and I curled up into a small ball, and I'm 6 foot, 220 pounds. I'm a big dude. And I'm like, right. And afterwards I was like, all right, well, I can either choose to not go to haunted houses anymore, which I love, and I love hanging out with my boys, or know that there's going to be a clown room and I don't have to like it. But when I know it's coming, it's like, all right, here's the shitty part. Right.
So
you go out and have a couple too many drinks. You know, you're going to be hungover in the morning. All you can do is have a Gatorade, a couple of Advil, you have that bacon, egg and cheese waiting for you in the morning. Like you mitigate it. Right. So that's the thing. It's not about like white knuckling and hoping a bad thing doesn't happen. It's trusting yourself that if/when the bad thing happens, I am prepared for it.
And what is like, literally I'm picturing you in a corner cuddled down with your thumb in your mouth going 95-311, 95-311. What is the, yeah. Like, how do you talk yourself out of that? You know, like is it an awareness thing? Like, oh, just be aware that you're having it. And then, what does that look like for you?
I mean, it does. Awareness is the start of it, right? Like, you know, and in my line of work, we often say we name it to tame it. Right.
Okay.
So, like, I'm anxious about this. I'm anxious that this is not going to go well. I'm anxious that I don't know enough about this, or that this joke isn't going to land, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's 100 people in a room, I know about one of those people is going to be like, this guy sucks. I hate this guy. Right. I just did a big talk at New York City, the Innovative School Summit, and I got all my feedback back. My feedback was glowing. People were like, give this guy more airtime. And this is a international huge conference in Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square.
Wow.
Right. It's a big fucking deal, right?
Uh-huh.
But of course, my brain skips over all the things that were good. One person who was like, I didn't appreciate the cussing. And I'm like, fuck.
Marjorie.
I'm gonna tell you this, swear hand to God, her name was Karen.
No.
I was like,
they're real? They're out there. They're coming for your cursing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Right.
It's one of those things. Like, if that had happened 7 years ago when I was getting ramped up at this, I would have crumbled. Right.
Yeah.
At this point, I know my strengths, my weaknesses as a speaker. Right. My strengths are that I'm passionate, I'm good on my feet, I have real life examples, I can connect concepts to real life, and people seem to really vibe with that. My weakness is that I'm not terribly polished. I'm not slick, right? I'm authentic, I'm real, I'm energetic. But part of that comes with sometimes I tell a story and I'm like, and then this fucking kid comes up to me, he's like, ah! And I'm like,
yeah.
And yes, if you are a Karen, you are going, you might find that troubling or offensive or something like that. And I'll tell you this, nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
Right. There's a great rule that actually my grandfather, before he passed, told me. He said, never take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from.
And oh, I was wow. like, that's a good one.
Damn.
Good one, man. Right?
Like that is, and once again, it doesn't stop the thought from happening, right? It doesn't do, in psychology, we call these automatic thoughts, right?
Okay. Yep.
You know, this person says, yeah, that wasn't a very good podcast. And your brain goes, ah, I suck. Once again, can't stop that thought from happening. Automatic thought. But then you throw it through the test of, would I take advice from this person? So if it's Joe Smith, who runs like a fabulous podcast with millions of listeners, then maybe you should probably listen to Joe. He probably knows his shit, right? And we say, okay, what can I learn from you? But if it's like cool dude 69 at AOL.com, right? Come on, that was your AOL screen name in the 90s. Don't lie to me, right?
No. Maybe a version.
It was cool dude 64 20. What?
Right? What, dude? And it would take an hour and a half to load the email program.
Yeah. Bonkers, 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 right? So like that to me is what it all boils down to, is this idea of you can't stop the thoughts from happening, but you have filters or checkpoints to send them through that limits their impact, right? I know there's going to be a clown room, so it doesn't scare me as much. You know, in psychology, we measure everything through what I call the big three, frequency, intensity, and duration. Right. Oh, so the goal of therapy is not to not be anxious. The goal is to be less anxious, less often for shorter periods of time. Right. Oh, so if you have imposter syndrome and like you're like sitting on the floor of your hotel room, knocking on the floor, like, I can't go out there. And you do that for 74 minutes the first time you gave a keynote. Well, next time we're going to aim for 50. And then the next time we're going to aim for 31. And next time we're going to aim for 24, and then the smaller and smaller and smaller. But you can never make that top number of the rate zero. It's always going to be one. The question is, how is your bottom number, right?
God, that is so interesting. Can I ask you? You're doing a bunch of speeches.
Yeah.
And I come from performing, right? So I come from doing sketch comedy, stand up, acting, and stuff like that. And I always feel imposter syndrome before. And I always feel a bit afterwards. I do a lot of discounting the positives when people give me like, oh, that was so funny. Okay, yeah, but I fucked up the lines.
You're just saying that. Like,
yeah, I know. God, what an idiot. But in the moment, when I'm on the stage, in the moment, I'm happy. I'm fine. And do you experience that? Like, how do you – your bio says that you've done like hundreds of keynotes. So – you're out there doing a bunch of these things. Are you still experiencing it? How do you experience it?
Oh yeah. I mean, I actually always say that if I stop getting anxious before I give talks, I'm going to stop giving talks.
Like, oh, okay. To me,
anxiety means I care about it. And I don't want to be one of those people, you know, I mean, like, it's like Jesus, like, have you seen like Frankie Valli? Like he's like just like trot him out there and he's like, hey guys, have you heard Sherry? And it's like about 7,000 times since 1984. But please, Frankie, by all means, sing it again, bud. you know, I mean, like, I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. And when you go to a Bruce concert, I mean, it's like he's singing these songs for the first time. I mean, he is like passionate, he's out there. There's no phoning it in at a Bruce Springsteen concert, right? So I refuse to phone it in. And if I find myself phoning it in, I'm going to stop. Right. That's my rule.
Okay, so you're anxious and that's what tells you, hey, that this feeling is telling me that this is a good thing.
Yeah. It can be helpful to think about feelings in terms of activating feelings and deactivating feelings, right? Things like excitement and anxiety, which neurologically speaking are very similar, like excitement and anxiety are very interrelated. Just like fear and anger are really interrelated, right? Those are feelings. They're not good or bad because no feelings are good or bad. They activate or they deactivate. You know, anger is an activating emotion. Anxiety, excitement, they're all activating emotions. Fear can roll two ways. Fear is usually a curl up into yourself emotion, right? So that's one of those things where you can – think, like, what is my body telling me right now? You know, am I about, like, am I taking the big shot in the soccer game? Am I about to sing my solo at the concert? Am I going to go out, ask out that hot person because it's prom season and kids do promposals now? It's a whole friggin' thing. Like, if you've got the sweaty palms and your heart rate's racing a little bit, well, hey, man, that tells you you're alive. Now, I don't want you throwing up on it like Stan from South Park. Like, that's a bad call, right? But okay. it's the sort of thing, like, if you're at a level where you care, it means you're going to be activated. And that anxiety, you're probably going to experience that activation. You're probably going to feel as anxious. But when you're up there and you're doing it, it's like time goes away, right? We call this flow state, right? Yeah. Flow state is proof that you're on to the right thing, right? Because let's say, like, so, like, Russ, you've done live shows, stand up comedy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you ever played the ukulele?
God, I've played a ukulele before. Yeah, I have.
So if I asked you to do a 20-minute set at a comedy house with a ukulele, how would that feel?
I would be nervous about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be like, that's not something I can do, man.
Yeah. And that would be the longest 20 minutes of your life, right? Like,
oh my God, if I actually had to stand up there with the ukulele and figure it out, yes.
Yep.
Holy balls, yeah.
Yeah, when I was a drummer for many years, like a lot of people with ADHD, I like to drum, like percussion's my thing. Uh-huh. And I remember my drummer teacher, he's like, you know that 13-minute drum solo in Blue Sky? I'm like, yeah, man, Allman Brothers. He's like, yeah, for sure. It's like, you know that 13-minute drum solo? He's like, there will come a time where you will play that. And not only will you play it, it'll feel like 13 seconds, not 13 minutes. At this point, I'm still getting like fucking up hot cross buns. I'm like, understand. Where are the notes? Tell me where the notes are. It's just tones. Like, I was in a terrible band in college, as everyone should be at some point. And I remember doing the drum solo to the we didn't go quite Blue Sky, that's a little much, but I did the drum solo from American Idiot by Green Day, and it's a hefty drum solo, right? And I remember, like, as I wrapped it up, I was like, wait, when did I start? And there's the idea that that when our skill set meets the challenge, right? So you imagine if it's plotted on a graph, right?
Okay.
The highest level intersection is flow. So if you are doing something that is at a high level of challenge because you have a high level of skill, that means time goes away, right? Doing a great stand-up set is flow because you are in it, you're doing it, you're at your skill level, you're crushing it. And you can see people who are up there who are fighting those 5 minutes, right? You can see them. They're like, it's the longest 5 minutes of your life, right? And then you can see, like, and you can see somebody like Mulaney, who 5 minutes wouldn't be nearly enough, right? He'd probably actually have trouble getting into it, right? Yeah. So I can do a 30-minute talk, a 50-minute talk, a 90-minute talk, 2-hour talk. Like, I can do all of those things, right? And oftentimes I have to check my phone because I have no sense of how much time has passed. I'll be like, oh my God, 37 minutes, check that. Ah, I better speed up on these goddamn.
We better go to the next slide.
Yeah, right now. I'm so scared.
Oh my God. Do you get that? So you basically have your methodology then for dealing with any kind of imposter syndrome that happens to you?
Yes and no, because it shows up differently in different things, right?
Oh.
Imposter syndrome is going to show up most in the things you care the most about, right? I was a bartender for many years. I tell you, man, I never had imposter syndrome about being a bartender because it was something I was good at and it was a great way to make money. But like when I put my apron at the end of the night, it was just like, that was a job. And I put my very wet dollar bills in my pocket and I drove home. Like, that was what I did. But like, as a dad, my imposter syndrome is like all the time. And there's no finish line to that. There's no like, oh, cool, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. I've kept them alive for this long. And yet I am still quite certain that someone's going to come and be like, nah, Nah, get out.
Unfit. Unfit. Yeah. I declare you unfit.
Good day. Good day.
Children, get into the van. You, sir, are unfit.
Oh my. And then, like, as sad as I'd be, there would be that one part of my brain, like, told you so. Fucking told you so. I've been telling you so for 6 years. It's like, oh. And it's very important if you're out there listening to us and you're hearing us vibe on this, that voice isn't real. That voice does not exist in a real sense. It is a voice in your head, and yes, it is talking to you, but it does not speak the truth, right? The worst thing about anxiety processes and anxious people is that sooner or later they end up right. Sooner or later, you fuck up as a parent. You have a bad day. Sooner or later, you give a bad talk. Sooner or later, you run a red light, you get a driving ticket, speeding ticket, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But errors don't make you a fraud. Errors mean you're learning, right? And that's the thing. Perfectionism isn't the goal. Perfect is boring and it's impossible, right? So the idea is, are you seeing yourself on a developmental trajectory, or are you seeing yourself as, if I'm not perfect, the world ends? Because one of those things will make your life better. And I'll tell you this, it's definitely not the second one. So I'll give you two guesses and the second one doesn't count. you know, but that's really what it is. And the one thing that's really cool, and I have gotten to meet a great number of people in my life, from like intellectual heavyweights to, you know, to performers, to famous people. And if there's a through line between every single person, this, that they all have imposter syndrome. They're all like, why are people listening to me? Like, why did they spend $80,000 to fly me out here to give this talk? I mean, like, is this an elaborate joke? Is this like the professional white collar version of Carrie? Because like, who's got the pig's blood, right? Like, I mean, it's
what manner of trickery have I accomplished?
Wow. Like, oh no, it's my high school bully. Why is he here? All the doors slam shut, like, ah, damn it, they got me, right?
Yeah.
So it's the sort of thing, like, just because you think it doesn't make it true. And if there is a amulet you can carry against your imposter syndrome, right, it's that. It's like, man, you're like, and if you're having trouble believing me on this, do just real quick, do what I like to call the pink elephant test. Okay. Right? In your head, picture an elephant. Mm-hmm. Right? You see an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
Super. Make it pink.
Okay.
Now you got a pink elephant in your head. Now put that pink elephant in some kind of vehicle. Surfboard, skateboard, hot air balloon,
okay,
Duke buggy. You know, so what's your pink elephant driving, Russ?
It's a green Volkswagen Bug.
Old school. Love it. Your pink and green go well together. It's a very nice color palette. So you can see the pink elephant driving the green Volkswagen Bug. Mm-hmm. Now look around your room. Do you see that actually happening?
No, there is no pink elephant and there are no green VW Bugs.
Right. So that just tells you, right, that in your head, you can see it so clearly. Mine is right by surfing, right? And he's wearing like purple and green trunks, right? Because trunks, jokes.
I can see it with some black shades on.
Right, he's crushing it, right? But I'm sitting in a basement. There are no waves here, right? So,
yeah,
you know, your brain will tell you these tales. And if you are less aware of this, or you haven't worked on the discipline, those thoughts will eat you alive. But they're only thoughts. Their only power is to scare you. They can't actually hurt you. And that's really cool once you figure that out.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. Now I can go 95-311 and pink elephant in the VW Bug, and that will be my amulet.
It's I mean, it's a whole thing. Like, it, and that's honestly like what therapy really boils down to, is do you have a big box of tools to deal with this shit when life gets heavy? Because, man, it's once again, it's not about keeping bad stuff from happening to us. Because if you did that, you'd end up only in your house. Right, you never leave your house.
Yeah.
Out there bad, in here good.
Safety here. Safety. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate this. This was amazing. And there's a lot of takeaway out of here. What do you got going on the next couple of weeks?
Oh man. So there's a spring conference season and a fall conference season, and we are in the heart of spring conference season. Okay. Do you want to hear like how ridiculous my schedule is over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So on Saturday, April 6th, I do an all-day event in New York City for the Association of Educational Therapists. Then I go back to New Jersey where I live. I'm going to speak at the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agencies. Then I'm keynoting for the New Jersey Gifted Association on Friday, April 12th. Then the 14th, I fly to Los Angeles, and I am going to speak at the Merriman School in LA on the 13th, and then visit the Qualia School on the 14th and do an event for my friends at AMPA Los Angeles. It's a performing arts high school. It's basically Fame. And I'm like, I'm going to bring my cane. It's going to be epic. I'd be like, do you guys like theater? They're like, stop.
Well, allow me.
I'll be just handing out my headshots. And then I'm going to fly from LA to Portland to speak at the National Head Start Association Conference. Then I'm going to fly to Houston to keynote an event for a school district south of Houston on Saturday, the 20th. Then I fly home, and then I have like a week or so off before I have to go somewhere else. So wow. It's like April is like going to be hard and heavy, but I mean, it's the thing, man. Like,
how fun is that going to be though?
It's so fun. I love what I do. I'm so lucky that.
God, I'm envious of that. That is great, dude. And how many of those are you going to have imposter syndrome for?
Oh, how many did I mention? Because it's all of them.
Every big elephant, big elephant.
I mean, but it's the sort of thing that, you know, the more you do it, whatever that thing is, like whatever it is, you realize sooner or later that the fraud police never kick the door in, right? Yeah. Because they're not real, you know? And once you realize that's true, then you essentially develop a superpower. And that superpower is, you know, that, yes, I acknowledge my imposter syndrome is here and it's yelling at me and it sounds very scary, right? By the way, and this is just a fun, if you're like a theatrical ADHD or person like you and I clearly are, if that voice in your head is bugging you, one of the things you can do is, it's hard to argue with yourself. The voice in your head is usually you. Mm-hmm. Or it's your mom or your dad. Like, you know, Freud was right about some things. So do what we call voice switching, right? Change the voice in your head to somebody you don't like or don't agree with. You could do Darth Vader. You could do a certain ex-president. I don't know the political leanings of your podcast audience, so I will.
The other one then, right? It would be that other son of a gun.
The other guy that did the film. Right, that
no good other one.
Yeah, we will say no more about that. You know, and if you can't think of somebody, a character that you don't agree with, right? Then just give it the old helium voice. Be like, you know, because my voice is like, "Throw up his talk, you asshole." I mean, come on, can you take that voice seriously? Nobody can take that voice seriously. It's like Donald Duck having an orgasm. It's just like. Like, it's not anything, right?
Right. So
if that voice is bugging you and it won't leave you alone and it's basically your own voice in your head, right? Hit it with helium, right? You can.
That's awesome.
That makes it, the content stays the same, but our experience of that content shifts.
And I like that. It turns it into a pink elephant. It turns it into a ridiculous, unreal image, right? Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, right? And like, you know, like one of my kids who does just a world-class Eric Cartman. Like, he's like, whenever my imposter syndrome bothers me, man, he's like, I do my little Cartman voice. But he started using it now when he's asking girls out because, like, he's at that age. And I'm like, well, you can't Cartman voice. And he's like, yeah, you can't be gay. you might do a better voice. Do a better voice. It's the, you know. So we're working on, like, a Christopher Walken right now. It's like, wow, this girl is never going to go out with you because you're not me, a Christopher Walken. And It's ridiculous that you would even think that she would want to have intercourse with you. I mean, and listen, I love Christopher Walken. He's one of America's greatest actors, but nobody can take
that. Wow. And you turned him into an asshole in your brain.
Wow, Matt, I thought you were a fan. You follow me on Twitter for nothing. Wow. So it's, I mean, but like all those things, and these are the little rehearsals. This is the story that's going on in my brain when I'm putting my suit and tie on, right? And I'm listening to my pump up music. And like, you know, because the fact of the matter is, whether you've done this a lot professionally like I have, or you're just getting started, the fact is your successes will outweigh your failures. And weirdly, you will learn more from your failures than your successes, right? So you really can't lose. You'll either win, which is awesome, or you'll screw some parts up and learn from them. You know, I go back and watch the tapes of me giving talks, and I can tell you, watching myself 7 years ago is hard. It's absolutely hard, but it's vital. Because there was good content there, just needed to be shaped and shifted and polished. And now it gleams, right? And God help me, I don't know what I'm going to look like for 7 years from now, but I have a feeling it's going to look like a goddamn diamond, right? Because I put in the
work. There's going to be more gleam to it.
There's going to be more gleam. We got to have more gleam.
We need more gleam. I just got done talking about the cowbell. That's literally, that was the greatest sketch ever. Going to space.
I mean, and just Fallon just leaving. He just, I mean.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. Dr. Matt, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. And you're an inspiration to me. I look up to you and your journey. So next time I see you, when I get on, I'll wear a crazy clown outfit. That's exposure therapy, right? It'll be for helping.
How kind of you, sir. Thank you.
You bastard.
Yeah. Man, I'm you ready for that 1%? I'm going to give you some 1% in a second, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm always cheering up on me. But, I mean, like, and this is the thing. Like, imposter syndrome, like any anxiety disorder, lives in abstraction. Right? It wants us to do nothing. It wants to freeze, right? Every time you do something, you prove you're not a fraud. Right, going on this podcast proves I'm not a fraud. Like going to give these talks in April proves I'm not a fraud. Right, asking that person out, going for the new job, getting a raise, you know, taking your kids to the scary new park, whatever the shit is, because I appreciate you because you show up as a podcast host who's vulnerable, and vulnerability is the kryptonite for imposter syndrome, because it's like, well, shit, I'm vulnerable, man. I know I'm not perfect at this, but I'm learning and I'm growing. And fuck you, you can't take that away from me, right? Because that's really like, there's nowhere for it to anchor into that. That is just a smooth surface, man. And I love when you see people really grab that concept and they go, you're right. You're right. No, this is me, right? And I'm going to do this and I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and I'm going to be awesome because that's why we're here. That's why we put ourselves out there. And I'll tell you, it's so worth it on the other side. And I can't wait to see, Russ, wait to see you in that green room and everybody who's one of your listeners, because everybody's got that thing that their imposter syndrome is saying, like, well, you can't.
Yeah.
What the hell says, right?
Yeah.
You know, go out and do it. And I'll be there waiting for you with a cold beer and a thing of flowers once you do this.
Okay, cool. I'll do it for that. And then what kind of snacks do they have in the green room?
Oh, well, I mean, I always insist on the bowl of brown M&Ms, right? I mean,
oh, like, you're one of those guys. Wow. Prima donna. Okay. Understood.
Need buffalo wings? They need to be made of habaneros. Nothing else.
I get my own dressing room.
Yes.
Wow.
It's 64 degrees. Exactly. No less. No, I mean, seriously, I go to all these things and they're like, what do you need? I'm like, my job is to make your job easier. I'll go up, I'll crush the talk. High fives all around, go home. They're like, but so many speakers are. I'm like, and I'm not them.
Oh, right? God.
My, you know, it's that, you know, vulnerability and humility go hand in hand, right? And I practice vulnerability. I might as well practice humility too.
Yeah. You're awesome, dude. All righty, man. Well, I'm going to get going back to, I have a show to finish. So I'm going to finish the show. And good luck on all of the talks, every one of them.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And you seriously, keep up the amazing work. I'm so glad our paths have crossed. And I can't wait to see the great stuff you're going to come up with very soon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
What a phenomenal guy, this Dr. Matthew Zakreski. Excellent. Lovely talking to that gentleman. I'll put links to everything in the show notes. But if you're one of those people that's like, I don't do show notes, okay, just verbally tell me, then I'm going to tell you. If you want to check out Dr. Matt Zakreski for therapy, you could go to www.theneurodiversitycollective.com. If you want to reach out to him for speaking engagements, this guy is phenomenal. It's www.drmattzakreski.com. And if you want to follow him on the Facebookery, the Facebooks, it's facebook.com/Dr. Matt Zakreski. And that'll do it. That's it. There's no more. We're done here. I hope this has been helpful. I hope this helps you guys with any imposter syndrome that you might be having. And as always, feel free to reach out if you want to shoot the shit about this stuff. And with that, I hope you all have a fantastic week, and I'm going to talk to you later.